1420 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks. The United Nations is now calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas as thousands of Palestinians rush to get out of Gaza. So far, more than 600,000 people have evacuated the region since attacks started last week. Ghassan Abu Setta is a surgeon with Doctors Without Borders. He's still treating people at a hospital in Gaza City.
The situation here is absolutely catastrophic. There is an impending public health catastrophe.
More than 4,000 people have died on both sides, including 30 Americans. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has invited President Biden to visit Israel, but so far they haven't made any plans. Still, Mr. Biden talked about the situation to 60 Minutes and says the U.S. stands with Israel, but there needs to be a plan, a path rather, to a Palestinian state.
I'm confident that there's going to be an ability for the innocents in Gaza to be able to have access to medicine and food and water.
Gaza could be days away from running out of those supplies. Here in the U.S., big protests continue. This woman's at a pro-Palestinian rally at the Colorado State Capitol.
I feel a lot of guilt being here in the United States when the United States is funding Israel to kill my family.
Supporters of Israel also gathered today in New Jersey.
We demonstrate to the world that we are unabashed supporters of Israel. The world may have lost its moral compass. We have not.
The FBI says it's also monitoring an increase in hate crime threats nationwide. People are digging through more rubble today following a pair of powerful earthquakes in Afghanistan. They flattened entire villages just 1 week after a quake killed more than 2,000 people there last weekend. Police have arrested a man who's suspected of shooting three people last night at the Texas State Fair. Senior Corporal Melinda Gutierrez is with the Dallas Police Department.
The suspect ran from the scene. Officers were able to locate him and took him into custody. A gun was also recovered. The individuals that have been involved in this have all been identified, and the investigation is ongoing.
She says the fair doesn't allow people to open carry guns, but if someone has a concealed weapons permit, they are allowed to bring a gun inside. Public school teachers in Portland, Oregon could go on strike later this month. Superintendent Guadalupe Guerrero.
We see a gap between our proposal, which has a price tag of about $135, $140 million, versus what the teachers union is proposing, which, you know, is about $230 million more.
Teachers want higher pay and smaller class sizes. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Yep, I'm looking at the pages right now.
Thomas's translation company just lost its only two Spanish speakers. Without the right replacements, he'll be en problemas.
Yeah, we'll have those ready. Tonight's going to be a late one.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. With Indeed Instant Match, we immediately show you quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed meet your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Dr. Brad Schaefer. As a podiatrist, I can tell you no two people's feet are alike, which is why I recommend Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotic Inserts. They're customized for your feet, so you get a unique solution your feet really need, not just a one-size-fits-all insole. They're clinically proven to provide pain relief for achy feet, knees, lower back, plantar fasciitis, and heels. Take the Dr. Scholl's Custom Fit Orthotics Assessment in Walmart today, now in the foot care aisle.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tase at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with a low of 39. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 55. Tomorrow, cloudy. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow night, lows around 35. Cloudy skies expected Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 56. 62, chance for scattered showers Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
But blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song. Nothing but blue birds from now on. I never saw the sun shining so bright. Never saw things going so right, noticing the days hurrying by. When you're in love, oh my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone. Nothing but blue skies from now on.
Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this September 10th, Session 36. See? I know now, Seth.
You remember now. You've got it in there.
Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, along with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habacker.
You know,
tonight's show, it's a little behind the scenes thing here. He's a kind of a local legend, so we had a really hard time getting him in here.
Yes.
But we finally did it.
James, this is a get. This is a get for us. We asked the best listeners in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage local legend from Four on the Floor, musical magician, one of my favorites, Pete Ravel.
Holy moly. How the heck am I going to follow this? Jeez.
It is so good
James,
to have you here.
Oh, really? It's a pleasure being with you guys.
Touching on what Seth was there, you and I have gone back and forth for almost a year trying to do this, trying to get this episode together. You're busy. I've had a weird schedule. It's just, I was telling you beforehand, you mean a lot to me. I've really enjoyed your music for many years, and I'm not alone. This community has. So we appreciate you being here, Pete.
My goodness, thank you. I'm just going to leave it at thank you. Yeah. Making old man feel good.
Let's get right into it, Pete. Okay. I want to dive into your origin story. Sure. Can you tell us where you're from, your beginnings?
Oh, sure. I was born and raised in Chicago. The first 10, 12 years on the west side in a very Polish ethnic neighborhood. And, of course, because of that, there was no such thing as pianos, as you probably know. When you get into it, accordion was the instrument. Well, I started, that was my first instrument, and I played it for about 20 years. My dad used to go on Saturdays to downtown Chicago. I believe the store was, they had a Hillman's, and he used to do a shopping. And he took me down, he took me one Saturday to Chicago. My mom said I was 5 years old at the time, and he took me to the Chicago Theater. Now, being younger, you may not remember this, but back then in the 40s and the 50s, the Chicago Theater had a movie and then a stage show. It kind of like vaudeville.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. And my dad took me to see Gene Autry.
Oh, wow.
Here comes the horse and he's jumping. I saw, but he had his band with them. And I do remember this specifically. He had an accordion player. And I, for some reason or other, I fell in love with the accordion. And that's where my love for the accordion came. Of course, it moved on because my dad, being Polish, I was raised with a lot of the ethnic music. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of my joys being out here was spending a couple years again with Polish bands from Stevens Point.
Okay.
Nice. It really is my roots, was my roots,
right on,
you know.
Right on.
So I became somewhat proficient, I guess, because I was able to make a living playing the accordion, you know, until I was about 20 or 21 years old. And I was working Holiday Inn Circuit in the Chicago area. And they had four properties. And a good friend was we became good friends. Her name was Bob Flannery. He was the general manager. And one day he came to me. I was playing a quarter box at the piano bar.
Okay. Oh, you know, wow. Okay.
And he came up. He says, you know, Pete, this is what they call a piano bar. He says, you know, we got, I said, oh man, now this is on the weekend. He says, is there anything you can do? Well, I finished the Saturday night and I thought this was a good job. I mean, I was making more money than a guy going to the factory, you know, just playing. Yeah. It was great. So I went out and I bought myself this big box. We call them sidemen today.
Yeah.
The drummer, right? Because I couldn't play left hand. I had no left hand. I could play right hand because of the accordion.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
So I bought that thing, and it's over the weekend. I spent Sunday and Monday, because it was a 5 gig, and I pounded. My mother-in-law had a piano.
Yeah.
I went to her house with this and this, and on Tuesday I became a piano player for the Holiday Inn Shape.
You just learned that quickly.
I had to.
Yeah.
It was survival. You know, you're in the business. Yep. Oh my God, our business.
Yeah. Our business. It's not for the faint.
Desperation is the mother of invention, right?
Boy, I'll tell you.
Well said. Yes.
for that time, I put the accordion, packed it up, put it away. Mm-hmm. I didn't pick it up until I moved here. It went over 50 years later.
Wow.
And the only reason I picked it up again was somebody, Norm Dombrowski, he has the polka band out of Stevens Point. He knew me from my days in Chicago. And, you know, he says, why don't you still play in a box? We used to call it the box. No, I didn't touch the box in 50 years, you know. He said, come on, she break the box. And I did. And I'm going to tell you, I have fallen in love with that instrument again.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
And it's, this has been, you know, this area and this town has been some kind of magic for me. There's somebody up there that says, Ravel, I want you to go there because it's going to be good for you. Yeah. And it really, really has been.
The accordion being a first love. Did you love the piano or learn to love the piano?
Oh yeah.
Right on. Cool.
Absolutely.
Cool.
It's you know, it's that I guess all musicians say about their instrument, but there's no end to things you hear and try to do and move. It's, you get to the point, or I do, I feel like even I don't plan it this way, but I never seem to be able to play the same song the same way. And every time I do it, but you hear these weird things, what they call.
right. You mentioned piano, and for me, my favorite is Thelonious Monk. I think of him right away when I think of the piano, just the instrument.
Yeah.
For you, when it comes to influences, what are some of the first things that names that come to mind? You mentioned Gene Autry there.
Nat King Cole. He was first and foremost, and he had the ability, if you listen to his recording, he can play never simplistic, but so graceful and melodic, and yet he had chops like what, you know, we consider the big guys.
Yeah.
My gosh, he was unreal, just unbelievable.
People forget that when he started out, he was strictly a pianist. He did not sing at all. In fact, when he started singing, people got upset because you're not doing jazz anymore. He's doing pop now, kind of thing. Yeah.
Wow. That's right. See, they've been complaining about that with artists forever. About as far as like crossing over and stuff like that. That's hilarious.
Oh, sure. I mean, but I have to tell, can we go back to the chords in just a bit? It is one of the most misunderstood instruments. If all over the world, it's an accepted instrument in cultures. Yeah. If you ever have the opportunity, you probably have, but any of the folks ever have the opportunity, listen to something like Gypsy Jazz.
Yes. Yes.
Features a chord, and these guys, they play so much, you know.
Yeah.
And I tell you something, a lot of people don't know that some of our most famous artists were accordion players. Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah, he was an accordion player. As a matter of fact, did you know, he wrote the song The Piano Man, probably his most famous piece, but when he wrote it, it was called The Accordion Man.
Huh, really?
Wow.
I didn't know that.
That's pretty cool. That is awesome.
Or George Shearing was a wonderful accordion player before. But I'll tell you, if you don't mind, this is out of school, and this is something you guys probably know. I had a cousin, and he was part of Elvis Presley's entourage. I don't know if you're well aware of this or not, but Elvis Presley never played the accordion. No, he didn't. But my cousin was with him when he left the building for the final time. And this is something you probably, I know you didn't know because it's never been written, but I got this directly. He's my older cousin, he's even older than me, but he told me, he says his final words, Elvis's final words were, you know, he said it something like, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I only have one regret in life, and that is that I never learned to play the accordion. You know, had I played the accordion, I could have been somebody.
It's a shame. What could have been?
Well, you know, think about it. There's old swivel hips there in Vegas doing a little bit of Who Stole the Kishka? E-I-E-I-O. You know,
he will never be Dick Contino. So you know,
nice.
You got it. But that's the truth.
Because
you know me, Polish Catholic, I don't fib.
In the sunshine of our smile, in the summer of our life, in the magic of love, storms above scattered away. Lovers dreaming in the night, reaching for pair of shadows fade, love slips away. On an empty stretch of beach, in the pattern of the wave, drawing pictures with my hands. In the sand, I see your face. Skipping pebbles on the sea, wishing for paradise. Sandcastles crumble below. The restless tides, they ebb and flow. Listening to a shell, hoping for your voice. Beautiful Maria, my soul, oh my soul. Forever in a dream. If I ever love again, even then nothing will change. And the taste of you remains, clinging to paradise. But as the distance from you grows, all that my heart ever knows, hunger for your kiss, longing for your touch.
Part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
Pete Revelle joining us right now. I wanted to get into collaborating with you. Pete, of course, one of the things that you are well known for in this area is working with Four on the Floor.
Yes.
You and those guys have been doing this for a long time. I know my mom worked at the library for years, and one of her favorite things was you guys being there and performing, and how she felt like she got a concert. And you know, she was working, but she was really just a fan and just goodness. Taking in the music. Yeah. I'm curious for you. You told us your beginnings and working solo, doing a lot of that. How did Four on the Floor come together, and what is it about? We'll get into the rest first. How did they come together?
it began when we moved back from, I lived in Prescott, Arizona for about 12 years.
Okay.
And as most men know, there's only one boss in any house.
Yeah.
And it's not us.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
The boss in our house decided that the grandchildren were in Wisconsin and not in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So we came back here, and somehow or other, a gentleman named Earl Garber. Earl is a lot of people knew, you know, from the time. It gave me a call, and he says, you know, we got this cultural center here, and they got a piano, and I played trumpet for many years. How about coming down and let's... So anyway, I met Earl that way, and he got a hold of some old friends of his, Cecil Livington. Cecil was a bass player. And he actually played with the Marshfield Symphony for many, many years. Hmm. And Francis Kubicek, he was our drummer. Hmm. And I'll tell you, I just as a side note, we did some recording with that particular group, and he was 90 years old. And 90-year-old people do not know how to sing other than Tony Bennett. But, you know, you don't. You can't hardly talk. Sure. I shouldn't say that.
Oh, you're good. You're good.
No, but it really, I mean, I could tell myself I don't have the chops I had when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But he could sing a wonderful song. Well, anyway, that evolved into, because what happens, they got older than, the first one was Francis, he passed away. Mm. And so we picked up, and then Earl couldn't make it anymore. And it evolved into our group today, which is Kevin Fitbrotten is playing trumpet with us. I don't know if you fellas are aware of Kevin Stellman. Kevin is a wonderful guitar player. But you know what he did? He said, I want to play drums. I said, okay. He bought the drums. He came, and he's the drummer with our group now.
Nice.
Glenn Runnels, for many years, Glenn was the engineer at the library for all the shows.
That's right. Yes.
That was, and he is world-class fiddle player.
He plays the devil
out of it. And we're talking over a period of about 12 years now.
Yeah.
We started with us. At that time, I was the kid.
Mm.
Now, they opened the door for me.
But it's how the turn of events. That's
isn't it? Never thought, you know.
When it comes to jazz, which is certainly what you guys are known for, what you guys do, and in your career, as you've been telling us, music that you go to quite a bit, is there something about jazz that pulled you in? Is there something about jazz that at any, whatever age it was, that it hit your eardrums that made you, this is my stuff?
Yeah, it's what I find in jazz is you can take any song that has some type of musical composition to it. Mm-hmm. One thing it gotta have, I mean, in my world, you gotta have nice songs with changes.
Yeah.
And man, I one time did a thing with the high school, and we said, what is, you know, the question came, well, what is jazz? Mm-hmm. And I think the best way to put it is this. I want to take a ride from Rapids to Stevens Point. Okay? So normally the best way and the easiest and straight way, or if you were to put a chart up, you would go 54, boom, and you got right. Now, what jazz is, it's waking up and saying, you know, I got to get the point, but I'm tired of this route. Tired of this route. And what I'm going to do is I want to take these back roads. I want to take a look at the river because there's things there that one can see. But eventually these roads still all lead to my destination. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I explained it. And that's the way I feel about what jazz is.
This is why I've been trying to get him in that chair.
Pete, I've been a fan of jazz literally my whole life. My mother was playing it when I was in the womb. I came out loving it. I've never in my life heard a better description of, if I was describing to an alien excellent. What jazz is, that's what the description I would use. That was awesome. That was great.
Well, thank you.
And it also speaks to how it pulled you in, the passion. Yeah, you don't give a description like that without loving the music, the genre and everything.
Absolutely.
It's also one of the things that I love about Four on the Floor and what you guys have done is there's so many young people that have gotten turned on to jazz maybe because of you guys, or certainly when you hear something live and in person as opposed to a CD or a record or anything, it hits you different.
Definitely.
I don't even know how many people that maybe you have hit or influenced or gotten at least get into the genre or turn on to it, listen to it, pull out some Bradford Marcellus or something, or look into Charlie Parker or any of these greats. That music, I feel like, is first off America. And more so, it's the soul of our country. To lose that is to lose something that we can't get back, you know? So keeping this stuff alive, what you guys are doing, I think is really important. I think it's great to keep this stuff going. When it comes to being able to do these shows at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, Pete does the first and third Thursday of the month, him and Four on the Floor, you can catch it at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Mm-hmm. How important is it to you to be able to have something like this to with the community, the connection you have?
It's become kind of magic. It's mm-hmm. not only do we see the thing about the cultural center, because of the time that we do it, it's probably more done for people my age.
Yeah.
What is so nice is, you know, you see people coming in that we got a hard time with mobility. Mm-hmm. And it just kills me about it is when they'll come in, right now we start at 2:00 and we play till 4 or whatever, sometimes. But people will actually just sit there for 2 hours, and especially again, going to people my age or myself. My attention span isn't what it was when I was, you know, there's no jumping.
Yeah.
And yet they'll come. And we always, these days, we get a nice group of, just a nice turnout. But they come and they stay. And I just stand and say, my gosh, you know, we got to be doing something right, fellas.
Yep.
Let's not.
Yep.
But I do have to say this, since the addition of Kevin Stellman, that man, he is out of his mind.
Yes, yes.
And you never know what's going to happen.
His son Ty is a family friend. Him and my sister go way back, and I've known Ty forever. Ty is one of the more natural musicians I've ever seen. I didn't know this about him until I got to know him a little bit, and he's walking around. There's a piano over here, and he just walks past it, and with one hand just starts playing a little like Count Basie or something. I knew he could play drums. I didn't even know he could play it. I'm like, Ty, what are you doing over there? Just messing around. I'm like, no, that's not that's that family is incredibly talented. He's a great part of that band. You are an integral part of it too, sir. We're going to talk more about them and some other stuff when we come back from break here on Director's Cut at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast tonight with a low of 39. North winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Highs level off around 55. Tomorrow, cloudy. Overcast skies again. Tomorrow night, lows around 35. Cloudy skies expected Tuesday with daytime highs approaching 56. 62, chance for scattered showers Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome back to WFHR's Director's Cut. James and Seth here, sitting with our good friend Pete Ravel. Pete, thanks again for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
I got to get to a quick story before we go too far along.
Please.
So I was it was one of the first years I was hosting emceeing at FRM Fest. And you were playing, you and Four on the Floor were playing, and you were killing it. And I came in late, and Connie tells me, okay, you've got to go, one of your jobs is going up there and pulling the bands off and bringing out the new band, introducing, you know, the new and that, and segueing. And I was like, I feel very confident about this. I feel very good. You know, I can go up there and do that. I go up there, and you guys are jamming and playing, and you sound great. And I kind of come up, and Connie was like, yeah, tell Pete we gotta end the set and everything. And I look over at you, and I'm going to try to give you a sign that to end things. And you smile at me. And I immediately, I smile back, and I completely forget what I'm up there for. And I turn around and go right off the stage. And I, as I'm walking off the stage, I'm like, wait a minute. I was supposed to do something. And I go back out there, and the same thing happened again. So it was the third time that I came out there that I was able to kind of give you the signal to let you know. But it was a blast. It was such a cool moment, Pete. I don't have a lot of musical moments. That is as close as I may come to having a musical moment. It was a real fun time, but I bring up FRM Fest because of the impact you've had on this area. You don't play that show if Connie and them don't think it's relevant and it's noteworthy, you know, and supporting local artists like you, Four on the Floor, that such a FRM, such a thing for FRM. How much did you enjoy playing that fest?
Oh, it was cool. Yeah, I mean, it just was cool. We, you know what it was, too fast.
Yeah.
There's so many things I wanted. I said, you know what, I want to do this. You're out of time. We're out of time. Crazy.
Pete, I wanted to make sure to get to this, too. You had a claim to fame. You had a pretty brush with fame, as you like to put it. I wanted to touch on this.
Oh, so I was in Chicago. I was part of Versa Records. It was, that was my recording company. And the engineer, and of course, and I, we were tightest thieves, you know, we everything. And so he would always, something would come up, so would you go write a song about this, write a song, and we'll, so he would come up. I did one about, he says, you know, the TV show that I Dream a Genie, when did you come up with a song of that? I said, oh, well, okay. Anyway, and it was, you know, so I wrote one, it was bubblegumish and whatever. But it was, you know, but anyway, he was in contact with Paul Gallus. Paul Gallus was a major player in the music industry in Chicago back then. And he says, look, they're producing this movie in California. It's called The Exorcist. And they're looking for songs. They're looking for music for this thing. So he says, why don't you go? Well, okay, Paul. You know, no. Anyway, I wrote a song for it.
Yeah.
And the way it finally evolved, it actually started with, this is crazy, the song is going to, it's going to go to California because it's going to be under review. And we had papers that we signed with Jimmy Van Leer was a big promoter.
Yeah.
I wound up going out to California myself to see a fella in the Capitol building named, they called him Crazy Carl. But it moved, and it was what was supposed to happen with it. They had talked, it would either be played either beginning at the credits or the end at the credits or one or whatever. They were looking for something. And I had decided then that I saw at the car dealer, I saw a Carmen Ghia, and I was just about ready to buy it. Nice. Yeah, that was going to be, this is it, man. Yeah, we made the big time.
Go ahead and spend the money.
But again, as you know,
yeah, the industry.
This business is strange.
Yeah.
I got beat up by Tubular Bells.
That's right.
It happens. It happens. It's close. How easily that could have gone the other direction and everything. Yeah. And it is a good song. You played it for us, so it is a good song. I can see why you sent it.
And you know what's funny? I did a lot of recording, whatever, and just records. I can't find them. Any. I think in movie or they'd become. Anyway, I did find a copy of the original, the one that we did. Mm-hmm. And I brought it here, and hopefully maybe we can give it a little the one thing I did the vocals at Termars was Chess Records in Chicago, after we did the vocal, Jimmy Van Leer was, that's the fellow we had signed with, the Chicago Symphony was finishing a session. Whoa. And he says, Ravel, we got to get some strings out here. And he says, the boys are over here. So I had the strings from the Chicago Symphony actually played on this particular recording. Wow. It was just like, how much? It's $100 a guy. And I'll tell you what, they listened to it once. The phone guys, they listened to it one time. That's all. No chart, nothing.
That's amazing.
Ripped it out. That was it. $100. See you later. 15 minutes.
Wow.
I call out to the one I will free my soul. Encased in hateful passions, they're beyond. Must believe this sorrow is inside of me, destroying all my sense of decency. I don't know if tomorrow will be soon enough. Oh, exorcist, please set me free.
You mentioned to us early on, Pete, that you got into music at a young age. Are there other creative outlets for you? Are there other things you like doing? You paint, you knit. Are there any sports you like? I mean, are there other outlets you have?
I umpired.
Yeah.
I was a baseball umpire for 20 years.
Wow.
Nice.
Right on. I didn't know this.
In fact, I just got an email. They're looking for umpires for a tournament. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. No.
But I get tempted. So, you know, I got to do that. You know, I'll tell you what happened. I stopped umpiring at 75 because all of a sudden a fastball became very fast. I'm behind him. And I said, oh, no, I'm starting to flinch. Yeah, you know? I said, no, I think that's enough of this.
Yeah.
You
know?
How'd you get into that? How'd you get into umpiring?
My wife was very ill at the time. We're going back to the turn of the last century.
Okay.
You know? And, well, it was in the 1990s. You know? Mm-hmm. And I was caretaker. Mm-hmm. And it was, if anybody knows, you know, if you are, it's a 24/7 mm-hmm. job, you know. And they were looking for umpires for our little league. And it was like, you know, hey, if I can do this, I had someone says, why don't you, I'll take care of the house. Mm. If you want to go for a couple hours. So I volunteered. I started as a volunteer, you know. And once it started, it like snowballed. Then it was high school.
Yeah.
And when I umpired in Arizona, it was the tournaments, a little bit of college ball.
Right up. Wow.
And I think I liked it. I don't know. It scared the devil out of me. Like I say, that ball, because how in the heck can a human being at 60 feet away hit a 90-mile-an-hour ball? And now they're cranking it up to 100. Are they nuts? Or Michael?
I still think it may be, you can make the argument, it's the hardest thing to do in sports.
I think so.
Hitting a baseball.
Yeah, hitting
just hitting it, let alone making contact, making it do something.
Right.
It's the balls. You have to see it. If you see it from an umpire's perspective, it drops and it snakes and it's, oh my Lord.
I don't think I could hit a knuckleball like in my best, at my prime. Like I could even, like Charlie Huff right now, throwing a knuckleball,
Probably.
I still couldn't. Do you have any pre-show rituals? Do you have any things that you like to do before you hit the stage? Anything that you've got to do before you hit the stage?
I can't eat.
Oh my God! Yes, I'm the same.
Get out of here, or just we're working. Hey, why don't we? Will you maybe a little libate? Are you? That's all I need in the ball game. Yeah. I have to be. If I know we're gonna play, coffee and that's all. And until afterwards, I'll make up for it after.
Yeah, I hear you. Yes, it's got a huge appetite. That's interesting. A couple of questions I always like to ask people, Pete. As far as a dream venue, a place that you've never gotten to play that you always wanted to, Madison Square Garden, Red Rocks. Thankfully for me, you already got in one that I had. I've always wanted to play the Chicago Theater. Since a little kid growing up in that city, that was the theater to me. The Goodman. It was the place.
You guys, it's funny you should say that because that's always been in my mind. I was with the Playboy Corporation for a lot of years. Yeah. That was a great venue. You know what? I want to say this. In many ways, they have maybe not the greatest reputation, but if you're a worker for them, and even the girls, I'm going to tell you, their everything is strict. Everything was above board.
Yeah.
We can kind of talk to people. You don't mix with anything, with anybody. Yeah. And absolutely, as far as the girls, most of the girls, these were kids that were working their way through college.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
you
could make a good buck.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got nothing but good things to say about my experience with that.
So is there a place you'd play? Is there a venue you've always wanted to play? Is it the Chicago Theater?
I saw that. And, I've been there more than one time. And this would be the...
There's something about walking in there.
It's magic.
Yeah, it really is. Gosh. Just thinking about it, I get goosebumps.
Absolutely.
Something about it. Pete, our final questions. For one, where can people hear your music other than catching Pete and Ravel Four on the Floor every first and third Thursday of the month over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center? They kick. They start off at 2, right? You guys start about 2?
Yeah, 2 to 4.
You can catch them every first and third Thursday of the month at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Can people catch your get your music online or anything? Or?
Well, let me say, we are at the library now.
Yes.
The normally, it's the fourth Thursday of every month, although this month it's going to be next week because there's something booked on the board.
Yeah, okay.
But on a regular basis, I would say 10 to 12 times a year.
Yeah.
And it's a early evening show, whereas the Cultural Center is the afternoon.
Yeah,
right.
But
yeah.
We're there from 6:30 till close.
Right on.
And that's even, you know, want to know something? They've done a wonderful job with that live.
Oh, really?
My goodness.
Yeah.
Sound wise, it's beautiful. You can't beat that.
Great acoustics.
Room.
Yes.
It's just
acoustics.
Wonderful. And then we've got things around town. Aaron's, we've been in and out of Aaron's.
Cool.
Nice place,
they've got a new, used to be the Baker Street.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
You've been over there too.
We played there, and Pete's interested in doing something when it's there. And of course, we're available for anything.
Yeah. I encourage people to follow you guys on Facebook as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on things.
We have a page Four on the Floor, and I've been threatening to put my nose to the stone. I got a plan. I want to now start putting something on every week. But I want to make it a nice production.
Yeah.
But that's cool. In the very, very near future, because we have already talked about how we're going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I had the TV show on our local.
Yeah, I saw
that. And that's still available.
It's right on YouTube.
We were talking about that too.
Mm-hmm. So, be sure to check that out, everybody. If you type into your YouTube search bar, Pete Ravel Show, and it pops right up. You'll find it right away. Some of the better jazz you will ever hear. Pete, your final question, then you can get out of here.
Okay.
Then you're all done. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, what a curveball that is.
Yeah. We get that reaction all the time.
The thing is how... I guess I would want to. I want to sit with Nat King Cole at a piano.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
That's what.
Nice.
And I want to play, and I want to talk to him about. And I just, I have a feeling that something out of him would ooze out, and I'd become a better player for it.
Yes. We've become better at anything we do creatively going forward, Seth and I, after just being with you for a couple hours, man. Thank you so much for this, Pete. You really made our day. Thank you so much for being a part of our show.
I appreciate your time, and it was my pleasure.
Encourage you again to get into your Facebook search bar, type in Pete Ravel, Four on the Floor. You can't miss it. Like and subscribe to what they're doing. Again, you can find the Pete Ravel Show on YouTube. Type that in your search bar, and don't miss them. Pete Ravel, Four on the Floor, 2 to 4, live music every first and third Thursday of the month over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center right here in Wisconsin Rapids. It's going to do it for another episode for Seth and I of Director's Cut here at WFHR. Have a great night, everyone.
Hello?
Man, where are you? This wedding is lit. I thought you were coming.
Ooh, I can't. I'm in bed with the flu.
The flu? You didn't get a flu shot?
I wish I did. I can't believe I'm missing out on Greg's wedding.
Whoa. Grandma's about to crowd surf.
Grandma's about to what? What?
Man, I'll call you back.
Oh, man.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.